Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's talk about Carlos Allende, or Carl Allen. Maxim, what do we know about him?
Yeah, strange character. You know, he inserted himself into the Philadelphia experiment. He was from New Kensington, Pennsylvania. He was described as being a gypsy, lived on the farm. And what he did was he had all these annotations in the book that Jessup wrote. So he sent it to Jessup. And then, like you said, the military, the Navy got a hold of it. Allende, Carlos Allende, seemed to know something about propulsion systems, about Einstein's unification theory. He was warning Jessup to stay away from this, that it could be dangerous. So that's what he was saying. Towards the end, Jessup thought that he had found some answers. He was going to tell his friend about this. He contacted him. He was going to tell him about it the next day. And what happened the next day was that in Miami, Florida, at a park, they found Dr. Jessup in his car. It looked like he had committed suicide. There was a hose going from his exhaust into the car. It looked like that. It looked like he had committed suicide. Other people feel that he might have been murdered because he knew too much, that he was getting too close, you know, to a secret. You know, we'll never know. But we do know that he was looking forward to getting together with his friend on the day that he actually killed himself. So to me, I think that his death is problematic. And again, we won't know, you know, a lot of times with, you know, some of these secret government agencies that we may not even know about. And I don't even mean the CIA, but some of these agencies, they will find ways to discredit you if you come too close or even take you out. I mean, they could do some radical things. And throughout history, we've seen things like that.
I want to bring up something here. Curious, who was the friend that MK Jessup was trying to contact?
Yeah, and that was the guy that he was going to talk to just before his suicide. And it was his friend was Dr. J. Manson Valentine. And
okay.
That was April 19th of 1959. So Jessup contacted Valentine. He said he made a breakthrough regarding the Philadelphia experiment. So they agreed to meet the next day. So that was going to be April the 20th. And on April 20th, they found Jessup in a Florida park. He had a 58 Chevy station wagon, and the engine was still running. There was a hose pipe attached to the exhaust. It was fed through the driver's side window, and all evidence indicated that Jessup had taken his own life. So we don't know, you know, don't know what happened, and we will never know. So there's just the conjecture. And that's how I ended the chapter on the Philadelphia experiment. And there's the final paragraph, if I could. Let me just read that. This is on the Philadelphia experiment.
Sure.
In Coal Region Hoodoo. But Moore's conclusion leaves much to be desired. After over 75 years, the Philadelphia experiment remains one of the most obscure wartime mysteries and an anomaly that simply refuses to go away. And again, this is the 80-year anniversary of that. And although Jessup's death was considered an apparent suicide, some believe that he had been murdered for what he knew about UFOs, anti-gravity propulsion, and the Philadelphia experiment. So we don't know. And William Moore, who was the co-author of the Philadelphia experiment, he thought that the Navy successfully made the Eldridge invisible, but then teleported it over those 200 miles, killing two men in the process. So that was, you know, what he said.
William Moore is an interesting case. Now, going back to my encounters with his co-author, Charles Berlitz, Berlitz had written a book about the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
I was working with a small newsstand paranormal magazine, Beyond Reality, with a guy named Harry Belil. And he did one of these local cable access TV shows. But Harry, of course, with his deep New York accent, was not the greatest TV person because I had a broadcast background. I hosted the show. Berlitz was on one of the episodes, and he announced that he was looking for the annotated edition. So on the show, I said, I have a copy. I think he knew that, but he wanted to try to be mysterious. He was a guy with a twinkle in his eye, Berlitz, saying, I am honest as the day is long, with a twinkle in his eyes. And I knew then I would never buy a used car from this guy. But he was fun, and I got free lunches and a credit in the book about the Philadelphia Experiment. Okay, so Berlitz and Moore teamed up again for the first book on Roswell with a lot of research from Stanton Friedman. And yep. Friedman claimed he did a lot of the work, but he never got more than a credit. I hope he got some of the money from that book. Moore later was one of those responsible for release of the MJ-12 documents.
MJ-12, and that's
right.
Brought that up, yeah.
Okay, so we can talk about that too. Now, later on at a MUFON meeting, I think in 1989, Moore confessed he had done some disinformation for the Air Force. It is pretty obvious to those who research it, the MJ-12 documents were phony.
Right.
Doesn't mean there may have not been a real agency on which it was based, but it was a phony. Moore never lived it down, and he is blamed by many to be at least one of those responsible for MJ-12, possibly instigating it. Long story. And that goes back again to the Philadelphia Experiment. And one more thing. One of the people who was a friend of Jessup, who talked about his death a number of times, was Ivan T. Sanderson,
yes,
a zoologist involved in paranormal research.
Yeah, that MJ-12, that was, who was, the other guy was Jamie, was it Segura?
Jamie Chandra.
Jamie Chandra.
Or Chandra, depending on how you want to list it.
Yeah. So that was where William Moore comes in. But anyway, the Philadelphia Experiment, I think it's going to get a lot of attention this year, you know, when people revisit it. And, you know, just pretty amazing stuff what happened. Again, the motion picture is not true to the narrative. It just goes into another sci-fi, you know, direction. But interesting topic nonetheless. So
it was kind of a B-movie, really. It wasn't a really high-caliber A-list movie. It was a B-movie, not much more than a TV movie. But there was a sequel.
I don't know if I saw the sequel. So I was saying early on that I have seen flying saucers.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Yeah. So back during the Vietnam War, I was in the Navy. I was served aboard the USS Constellation. It was an aircraft carrier, CVA-64. It was an attack carrier. And we'd go over there into the Gulf of Tonkin, and we would do our alpha strikes. Again, I was a radarman, and me and my shipmates, you know, in CIC, Combat Information Center, you know, you've seen these in all the war movies with the status board and all that. That's where we were. But we would see bogeys, and these were solid, tangible contacts. They were faster than anything that we had or the Soviet Union at the time had. And they would make sharp turns and everything. We had a logbook. We would go and log in their UFOs. So we would put these UFO sightings there. Keep in mind that most of us guys were 20 or younger. We were just like little babies fighting this war. We were told to keep our mouth shut about what we saw. You know, don't talk about the UFOs. So this was back in the 60s. And a lot of us saw them, and I remember I would go through these logbooks and see all these UFO sightings, and then the next day those logbooks would disappear and there would be a new one. So that was back, say, 1968. Flash forward to maybe 3 years ago, and what's changed? Well, the Pentagon has a group, a task force now called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. And they're saying, claiming that 3% of the things that Navy pilots see, they can identify. Out of those 3% of the things they can identify, they're claiming that they either belong to us, or maybe Russia, China, or Iran, or maybe they're extraterrestrial.
Now, there's one interesting thing about how that works, and that is the Pentagon, and this, by the way, the group is now called AARO.
Yep.
You know, which sounds to me like APRO, a UFO organization of the 50s and 60s. But one thing they always say, yes, we have objects that are not identified, but there is no evidence they're extraterrestrial or have any kind of off-world or advanced technology component. But of course, that's what they've been saying since the 1940s. So we're going to go with that. Maxim Furek is joining us with Tim Schwartz, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
But Maxim, of course, is telling us about his sightings and dovetailing it to what the current government UFO investigation is about. Go ahead.
Yes, so the Pentagon is admitting that we're seeing things, and they're asking pilots to come forward to report these things. Now, in the past, in the recent past, if you would come forward, a lot of times there would be this castigation. You know, they would view you in a negative light, that maybe you're emotional or you're needy, you're looking for attention, you're mentally imbalanced, whatever. I mean, they would find a way to shut you down and be disrespectful. So a lot of people did not come forward, you know, telling about things that they saw, these anomalies that they saw in the night. Now, at least, there seems to be maybe a platform or maybe a climate where people, you know, will be a little bit more candid about what they see. So that's the one thing. So the government's stance seems to have changed. The name, unidentified aerial phenomena, has changed. The shapes continue to be the TikToks and the cigar shapes. And we're seeing the orbs. And there's been some interesting videos of these orbs over the Middle East that just maneuver and zigzag. And they're just like back in the 60s, they go faster than anything we have. Whatever it is, whatever the final verdict is, I mean, at this point, I don't think we have, you know, the intel to determine what it is. You know, I don't think it's our stealth technology. You know, I don't know if we're capable of keeping that, our stealth technology, under wraps, but I don't think it's that. I think it's something else. Now, is it interplanetary in nature, or is it interdimensional? And, you know, you need to sort of take a look at that. Maybe Einstein was right about that wormhole theory. Maybe we're being visited, but if we are, for what purpose and to what end? And, you know, and if we are being visited, we have been visited, you know, for years, you know, for decades. And what exactly is the purpose of that? I mean, you know, I mean, why not make contact? I mean, we're ready for that. You know, I mean, a lot of us would love to have that experience. So a lot of this is just, you know, unknown, and we're looking for answers. And, you know, I do this as a student of the paranormal. I do this as an academic, looking for answers. And when I was writing the Shepton book, I wanted to call it the Shepton Convergence, because there was a convergence of themes. You know, the vision of the Pope who had died, the out-of-body experiences, the near-death experiences, the stairwells with their ancestors sitting there, all that. But I lost my train of thought. Give me a kick in the head or...
Well, you were talking about Shepton and the connections with the UFOs and the sightings in the mines.
Yeah. So what has changed is, you know, I think the government stance, some of the shapes, the name, you know, the climate. So that's all changed. But with my Shepton book, I wanted to call it the Shepton Convergence, because all these different things. And I was thinking, don't do that, because, you know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, and you don't need to muddy the waters by having additional verbiage or terminology. You know, J. Allen Hynek talked about levels of strangeness. You know, if you see a light in the sky, it may be low strangeness. If you see that light, that orb that hovers over a car and the engine cuts out, you know, it may be an indication of high strangeness. So my terminology of convergence, I just decided to not even use that anymore, because Hynek has already given us that definition. And that's what we're looking at. We have people like Albert Einstein, who's given us a theory, the wormhole theory, that I think a lot of us are looking at. Hynek, who's given us the close encounters categories of first, second, and third, you know, third being an actual interaction with aliens, with alien humanoids. So we have people like Hynek and Einstein and Carl Sagan, you know, who are helping with us with the terminology, so that at least we can take these themes and put it someplace, and then, you know, collect that data, maybe like Stan Gordon's doing with his Bigfoot and UFO sightings. You know, so again, you know, we're collecting data and hoping that at some point we're going to be able to go and, you know, identify what this is that we've collected. So, you know, I think there's just a lot of us that are searching. You know, we're searchers.
Well, just like the Bigfoot and other weird things in Pennsylvania, UFOs have played a really a predominant role in the mysteries of that state.
Yeah, and again, we think that Pennsylvania is maybe number three in UFO sightings. I wanted Coal Region Hoodoo to capture all of that stuff, and it's certainly it's about the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but a lot of other states can relate to this. And you know, with it, whether it's Bigfoot or UFOs or the other cryptids, the other anomalies. So, you know, just some interesting stories. The one story about Dr. Frederick Santee, you know, I had got a lot of response from people that are Wiccan practitioners and you know, people that are pagans. So it was just amazing that that resonated. And they thanked me for being respectful of their craft, you know, that it wasn't, you know, a lot of early Christians claimed that, you know, that these people were pagans, that they were involved with satanic rites and all that. And certainly that in a lot of cases, that is not true. And that's not what Dr. Santee's coven was all about. And Dr. Santee, the high priest, said that you could either use the right pathway or the left pathway. And if you use the right pathway, it's the pathway for good deeds and good intentions. It's for helping and healing. But if you use the left pathway, it's to for casting spells and curses. And I believe that all religions, and I don't care what they are, I think all religions can be used for both good or bad. You know, you could use it for helping, or you could use it for hurting people, putting on curses. It's a type of karma, you know, that spiritual cause and effect, where, you know, good causes will have a good effect. A bad cause will bring a bad effect. For example, having a future where the person suffers. So I believe in that karma. Dr. Santee talked about if you do use your, you know, your powers, your innate powers for evil, that it's going to come back on you tenfold. And several witches that I talked to said that, well, it's actually more like threefold, you know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, what the number is, you know, and we know this. I mean, you know, you do goodness and it's going to come back on you. And, you know, you do, you know, harm to somebody, you know, you do things, you know, for evil, it's going to come back on you. So it's all about karma. It's about your intentions and, you know, and that's what the hoodoo is. That's what the purpose of the hoodoo. The hoodoo could be either for helping or for healing. And people that get the hoodoo either get the blessing or they get the curse. So that's what the hoodoo means.
Blessings, curses, whatever. Maxim, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
But Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says negotiations to raise the debt ceiling are moving along, telling reporters there are real discussions about a deal, but we're not there yet. While former President Trump canceled his rally yesterday in Iowa for possible tornadoes, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis held his.
I'd shut down the border immediately. Why are we letting this happen to our country?
The governor of North Carolina formally rejecting a Republican-backed abortion bill.
Hundreds of abortion rights activists applauded in Raleigh Saturday as Democratic Governor Roy Cooper placed his veto stamp on the legislation known as Senate Bill 20.
New York City launching an asylum seeker arrival center at a hotel in Midtown Manhattan. That hotel had been closed for 3 years due to the pandemic. Corey Myers, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are having a lot of fun here with our guest this week, okay? And he's the author of Coal Region Hoodoo, among other books, Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit. Maxim Furek has joined us. When you say the pit, I'm thinking of The Pit and the Pendulum, a movie with Vincent Price.
Yeah, I like Vincent Price,
Of course, the last thing we probably heard of Vincent Price was in the song Thriller, where he laughs.
He laughed, yeah.
That famous laugh.
Yeah, I like Vincent Price. I liked Roger Corman. I liked what they did with Edgar Allan Poe. Stories. And what's interesting, talking about horror movies, I think it was 1960, Fall of the House of Usher came out, and that became a mainstream movie. I mean, America went out to see that movie, this horror movie. And so Roger Corman realized that he was onto something, so he signed up Vincent Price, and they did all of them. You know, Mask of the Red Death, what a wonderful narrative that may be a metaphor. I mean, you could look at it as a metaphor for AIDS. You know, they hid themselves in the castle to stay away from this disease, you know, the plague. But, I mean, so many of those, you know, Corman used the same sets over and over again, but so why? You know, we loved it. And that was the stuff from the early 60s. And that was just before Beatlemania. So before Beatlemania, we had Poe-mania. And, you know, America loved Edgar Allan Poe. So we pretty much were caught up in that. And, you know, that gothic thing, not real bloody, but just suspenseful, just gothic, you know, just, you know, celebrating one of our dearest and most prolific poets and writers, Edgar Allan Poe.
There were movies in the 30s, Edgar Allan Poe movies. Like, for example, there was one called The Black Cat with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Okay, but then, of course, Karloff was so famous, they said Karloff and Lugosi, they didn't put the Boris in there.
Yeah.
It's too famous.
Yeah.
But that was a fascinating film having nothing whatever to do with anything Poe wrote. The Black Cat was one of the early Universal films. This was around 1935, after, of course, Karloff was famous for being the Frankenstein monster in The Mummy, and Lugosi famous for Dracula. So putting them together in one film had to be something special.
Well, absolutely, especially in the 30s, when people go into the movies. Yeah, they were the superstars. I don't know what that was like, you know, these guys that represented the macabre, the horror, you know, the dark side. I mean, it had to be pretty cool to have lived, you know, in the 30s and to experience that.
Okay, the film was out in 1934, and they call it a pre-code horror film.
Before the code.
For whatever reason, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-code. It cost all of $236,000 to make. If you haven't seen it, I'm looking at the viewing options because I really like it. You have to pay $3.99 for any of the places where you could download films. However, you can see segments of it, short segments on YouTube.
Okay.
And then there's a strange scene there where Karloff and Lugosi are walking together, and Karloff says, "Are we not the living dead?" quote unquote. Basically saying that we're not alive right now. We're both dead.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, that was sort of prophetic, right? Sort of cryptic.
Well, I mean, let's face it. We're talking about people here who are really wonderful actors.
Yeah, I have. I talk about Nick Adams in my book, and Nick Adams was a member of Rebel Without a Cause. And there are people that say that so many of those actors were cursed. Nick Adams, James Dean, Sal Mineo, Natalie Wood, but he starred with Boris Karloff in Die Monster Die, and then Karloff was in a thing called Targets, and it was about the Charles Whitman mass shooting. That was in 1966, and Whitman was a former Marine, and what he did was he climbed that clock tower. Remember, that was in Austin, Texas, University of Texas, and he had all kinds of weapons, rifles and everything, and he was a sharpshooter, but he shot 16 students, killed 16, he wounded 32 others, and then the movie Targets came out, and that was another Roger Corman thing. But Karloff played in that, and that was one of his best roles. And he said that the monster wasn't on the screen, but he's out there, and he was sort of letting us know that you know, bad things were happening. And this is in 1966. We were sort of you know, we thought we were immune from maybe urban terrorism, and in 1966, this is probably just a shocking example of that. So that was Charles Whitman, and I have that narrative in Coleridge and Hoodoo, and I put that together with the Nick Adams and Boris Karloff piece.
So, by the way, Die Monster Die was probably the last film that Karloff made. In his final years, he had difficulty walking.
Yes.
So a lot of the time between scenes, he'd be in a wheelchair, and then he'd get up and do his scene. Yep. And also, I think he had emphysema or something, because he'd have to have an oxygen tank and take a breath or two. But he worked until the very end. I think he was 80 or 81 when he died.
Yeah.
Unlike Lugosi, who died in his mid-70s, and part of the problem he had a back injury or problem, and he got addicted to opioids, or whatever the equivalent in the 1940s was.
Yeah.
And it took him years to recover from that, and by the time he did, he was not in good health.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting characters in our paranormal universe, huh?
Well, and Karloff specifically was the kind of actor who could do anything. He was the first Captain Hook in Peter Pan, or one of the Captain Hooks in the Broadway play. He did comedy. He did children's books. He did horror. And everybody liked him because he was a really nice guy, although he was married 5 times.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then Karloff connection, okay. I occasionally heard from a woman named Sarah Karloff, his daughter. And in her 60s, years after her dad died, she was fighting Universal for a part of the profits. And the reason is they made him such an iconic character as the Frankenstein monster that they had all of this merchandising going on. And, of course, you know, Karloff would be paid for the film. There were no residuals or anything. He'd be paid for the film, whatever it was. And all the money Universal made from his likeness, they never shared in. Hollywood economy, just like we talked earlier about Sean Connery suing the movie producers he worked for, the movie studios, about James Garner not getting his Rockford Files residuals and stuff. Boris Karloff, one of the most famous actors of the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, and just a brief story about that. In Coleridge and Hoodoo, there's the I talk about the movie Targets, and Peter Bogdanovich was the director, and Roger Corman was the producer, and he gave Bogdanovich a shot at being a director. So this was his big shot. So he said, do three things. Keep the film on under budget. Use Boris Karloff, because Karloff owed Corman like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes worth of acting. And also use parts of The Terror. So when Karloff, as Count Orloff was there, he's there at the drive-in, and they're showing The Terror on the screen. And that's when Karloff said that the real monster is not on the screen, but it's out there. And he was referring to a sniper similar to Charles Whitman, who killed all those people.
Another story about Bela Lugosi. A couple of stories. One, of course, the final films that he did were for Ed Wood, who made the worst films.
Oh, Ed Wood, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
His films were so bad, they were good.
Yeah, I know. Okay?
Now, one of the legends here, and I'll tell you that legend in our next segment with our guest this week, Maxim, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
Yeah, the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Lugosi did his final films for Ed Wood. As a matter of fact, there was a film called Ed Wood, which featured
black and white,
kind of a bio, a Tim Burton film. Johnny Depp as Ed Wood, and Martin Landau played Bela Lugosi, and won a Best Supporting Actor.
Correct.
Yeah. Although, to me, the Hungarian accent was too Jewish, to be blunt about it. But Martin Landau was a terrific actor. Okay, the last film that he did, and I think it was Plan 9 from Outer Space, Lugosi died before the film was made. But he was walking around with this hooded cape, like Dracula. Mm-hmm. And he was dead, so what did Ed Wood do? He was a one-hit wonder in terms of filming. He'd never do a retake. Kind of like Clint Eastwood, except Clint Eastwood does good films. Anyway, so what are you going to do? You're a star of the film. Bela Lugosi is dead. He had his chiropractor, who was kind of the same size and build as Lugosi, take on the role and do the final scenes. Because you didn't see the face, and there was no speaking part.
Mm-hmm. Ed Wood, ingenious. Yeah. So I thought that was a great movie. I loved Ed Wood. I mean, it's just like the way they put it together. It had a good feel to it. You know, the movie within a movie.
And the other thing, of course, is a famous sci-fi personage of the 30s, 40s, 50s, and monster films, Forrest J. Ackerman.
Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, worked with Ray Palmer and was a friend of Ray Palmer's. Then, of course, he did Famous Monsters of Filmland. And when he traveled, he wore a ring, which was Bela Lugosi's Dracula ring.
Oh, wow.
Forrest J. Ackerman. Of course, he had this fabulous home in L.A. with all these horror and sci-fi memorabilia there.
Was he a Philadelphia guy?
Forrest Ackerman? I don't know. I knew him slightly.
Okay, okay.
Believe it or not. I met him the first time when he offered, in Famous Monsters, to visit the home of readers if you wrote a letter. Okay? By the way, he was born in L.A.
Okay.
Okay. So they offered to come to the home of readers who wrote the nicest letter. Now, me being a writer, I was 17 or 18 years old at the time. They said, okay, we'll invite several people to come to your house, which they did. And my mom prepared lunch. And I set up recording studios, kind of, with a mixer and several mics and a tape recorder to pick everything else up. And he stayed about an hour. And he was wearing the Dracula ring in his travels.
Awesome.
I don't have the recording. That's like 500 tape recorders ago. I had two tape recorders. I mean, I was really into the recording studio thing at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing it, so I'm living my childhood now. I have a real mixer, an analog mixer with a digital output. I have a real microphone here. I have, and instead, of course, a tape recorder, I have my iMac. But just think, I never grew up.
The acoustics, by the way, are just about perfect. I mean, it just, both you guys sound really good. So
I'm just in a room without any baffling, but what happens is here is that the microphone is highly directional. And I speak very loud. Let's get back to the world of the paranormal. Even though there's so much of that intrinsic to our movies and novels, because a lot of times horror legends came from the paranormal over the centuries.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, of course, we have stories like the late Linda Godfrey wrote in Real Wolfmen, people who thought they were wolves, and of course we did horror films about them, but she, in her day, would look over the legends of creatures like that, and Hollywood, of course, would take that and come up with stories. Certainly, mass killers like the alleged Vlad the Impaler influenced Bram Stoker to write about Dracula.
The one that won't go away is Jack the Ripper. I mean, there's been so many books and documentaries, you know, films made about Jack the Ripper. I mean, just there's something about Jack the Ripper that, again, you know, draws us, fascinates us, makes us want to figure out who he was and why he did what he did. And, you know, just an incredible narrative. I have a chapter in Coal Region Voodoo called Ripperology. And I talk about that fascination for Jack the Ripper and that fear and all of that, just trying to figure out, you know, why we do that. And so the book is a plethora of all these paranormal aspects, you know, looking at it through different lenses, including the sociological and the psychological. So we're excited about Coal Region Hoodoo. Again, it was published by Beyond the Fray, and all they do is paranormal titles. You know, they're from San Diego, but we're pretty excited about the book launch, and it's just been out a little over a month. Like I said, so far we're getting some good reviews. If we could say it, you know, the book's available on Amazon or through my website of www.maximfurek.com, and that's MaximFurek.com. I would encourage your listeners to take a look at it and at least read about it on my website or on Amazon, just to see if that might be something they might want to put in their collection.
After this, do you have a sequel in mind? Where do you go from here, Maxim?
Good question, Gene. I'm changing direction a little bit. I have a manuscript I'm working on. It's called Dream Gliding, Honoring the Wisdom of the Ancients. And what I claim is that there's nothing new under the sun, that everything that we're talking about and concerned about today, you know, there's guys like me, you and Tim that we're discussing maybe 2,000 years ago. So everything that we're hearing from Deepak Chopra and Anthony Robbins and Eckhart Tolle, the same thing we've heard 2,000 years ago from Jesus Christ and Buddha and Muhammad. So again, things haven't changed. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And my book, Dream Gliding, talks about that and just talks about a whole lot of things. It's sort of a new agey, I don't know if the word self-help, I mean, the books like this seem to be slotted under self-help. But as a former psychologist and addiction specialist, you know, this is something that I've been working on. And, you know, it's getting done. We're more than halfway through it. And, you know, it should be an exciting title once I've completed. So it's called Dream Gliding, Honoring the Wisdom of the Ancients.
Well, of course, that's something that leads us to the ancient astronaut legends.
Yeah, okay.
Right, and just to tell our listeners, if you look through our archives, I'm always happy to plug this for the Paracast. You check our archives, you'll see amongst the guests, we had Eric von Däniken some years back.
Okay.
And the other guest was my old friend David Halperin, who was a retired religious scholar. And that was an interesting discussion because although Halperin doesn't really make a big deal of it, he was dissecting a lot of what von Däniken said, and von Däniken comes up at the end and says, well, that's my interpretation of it. So I think he felt chastened. I don't want to say we exposed Van Daniken, although we've exposed a few people over the years here on the Paracast. But in this particular case, well, there were other alternatives because David Halperin does not believe in ancient astronauts. He actually attributes UFOs mostly to the Carl Jung collective unconscious. So we'll get into more discussions, by the way, with our guest, Maxim Furyk, in the After the Paracast podcast, if you're members of the Paracast Plus. You can find us on Twitter, by the way, while Elon Musk allows us to do that. You never know with the way it's going, or if there will even be a Twitter. There's Facebook, of course, where you have two sections for Paracast listeners. We also offer branded merchandise at the Paracast.shop or the Paracast.store with four different logos to select from, the Paracast.shop, the Paracast.store, and we also present the Paracast Plus at the Paracast.plus, and what you get there is a version of this show free of the network ads, higher audio, and the very exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. And what's going to happen this week, of course, is our guest, Maxim Furyk, is going to hang out for more discussion on After the Paracast. Check out the Paracast.plus and get this at 20% discount with the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, for 5-year lifetime subscriptions to Paracast.plus. Hey there, Maxim. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Yeah, Gene, this is great.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.